All set, go. So after page 279, just one little more, chidah, choymas anoch. One seven where it says choymas anoch. Choymas mach is the chidah. And the chidah writes here, it's, and we're starting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 lines from the bottom is where we left off. Harav Marenu, Harav Yonis and Zal, Uval Uvanachal, Yesh To Sofer. Okay, so he writes here that Remenu Yonis and Uvanachal was the Toy Sofer, Kumoisha Kasafi Koch Tsarch Lyoitz, Al Michor Makes of Tzadik, the Evyoin Bavur Na Aloyim, Hoya Haminik de Ein Evid Loyde Shmino. Okay, so he's writing over here something in regard to Vachasichayim. He's saying that there was a minig that a slave, this, you haven't heard this before, such a fascinating idea, that a slave did not wear shoes. Slaves do not wear shoes. Hayu haminig de'ein eved levesh minol umichoruhu balvur naloyim lohoyroiz ki heim v'nei chorin v'yoytsef eved harav mareinu harav yonesan zal. Now, this Rabbi Yonasan Zal, he's saying over here, is Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz. Avas, yes, Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz. He's now referring over here to Rabbi Yonasan, the Targum Yonasan. It's Yehoyonasan, the Hey. Targum Yonasan is before even Rashi. This is the, I mean, obviously for Rashi, it's a Medrash, before the Gemara. The Targumim, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, he was in the middle, he's in Perkei Avos. Okay, Yonasan Ibishitz is only 200 years ago, not even. So we hear this thing over here, very big chiddush, that in ancient times, the minhag was slaves. Most people never heard of this before. Slaves did not wear shoes. So now we have a whole new understanding of mechiras yosef. I don't know if we mentioned this. Yeah. We have to discuss that mechiras yosef, what did they do with the money? When they sold Yosef for 20 coins, they took the money and they went to the shoe store. And they bought shoes. Okay, so the question is, what is the deeper meaning? What was the significance of the buying shoes with the money from mechiras yosef? So he's teaching us a very fascinating pshat. A very simple understanding is, you're a slave. We're selling you as a slave, and a slave does not wear shoes. We are the owners. We are the balabatim. Therefore, the money that we get to selling you for slavery, it's only appropriate that we should use it to purchase shoes. Because that is the telltale sign who is the master, who is the slave. The master wears shoes, and the slave does not wear shoes. That's the significance over here. He's obviously saying this pasuk is to be interpreted in reference to Mechiras Yosef. Al Michram Bakesef Tzadik, they sold the Tzadik Yosef at Tzadik with money. The Evyon Bavur Na'aloyim, and with that money, the Evyon Yosef, they went and they purchased shoes because this is what showed who the Balabais and who the slave was. That is very interesting, fascinating understanding of why they specifically bought shoes. And there are many other mahalchim as to why they used the money from Mechiras Yosef to purchase shoes. And one of the reasons is, what does shoes accomplish? It gives a person mobility. It gives the person the ability to travel the world. If you do not have shoes, then you're not going anywhere because you're vulnerable to the environment. The environment is full of sharp stones and snakes and all different types of dangers that prevent a person from having mobility. When you put on shoes, you have mobility. And therefore, the deep meaning here is that the brothers, the Shiftei Kov, viewed themselves locked in, limited in their mobility to conquer the world and to achieve their mission as long as Yosef was in existence. Yosef was an impediment for their success. The brothers had a derech, let's say whatever their derech was in Avodas Hashem, and Yosef is holding them back because Yosef has access to his father, has his father's ear, And any time they did something which they felt was the proper approach to life, Yosef disagreed. Yosef told their father, Lashon Hara, look what your other children are doing. And Yaakov Avinu listened to Yosef. He nipped it in the bud, and it was over. Now that we have eliminated Yosef, it's going to be so much better. The world will be such a better place. And this is a very frightening thing, because according to this interpretation, Mechiras Yosef happens every single day. Do you know how many times I've heard stories where you have an institution, and you have many people who are partners in the institution, and the people are plotting, if only we can eliminate this Rebbe from the yeshiva, if only we can eliminate this Rosh Yeshiva, only we can eliminate this rabbi, do you know how successful this institution would be? It's the narrow-mindedness and the kleina hasagis of this principal, this teacher, which is holding us back from being the pisem v'ramses, the spitz of what we could be in this community. I mamash heard these words once. That this is about a certain shul. This shul, the people, the pool of people that would come and daven in the shul would be so, so good. If only we can get a new rabbi. We can throw out the rabbi and get a new rabbi. I want some mamish say those words. So that's exactly what they said. That is mamish, the chet of Mechiras Yosef. How do you know that's the chet of Mechiras Yosef? Because what do they use the money they gain by selling Yosef? To buy shoes. What is shoes? Shoes represents expansion, mobility, success. If you don't have shoes, you're not going anywhere. Shoes gives you the ability to walk, to move, to accomplish. Now that we've eliminated Yosef, now the time has come where we can go forward and achieve success. Okay, that is one interpretation of why they purchased shoes. So shoes, we also know shoes is, we make the bracha she'asa li kol tzarki. Now we spoke about this not that long ago when we reviewed this very beautiful yisoid of what's the significance of she'asa li kol tzarki. This is a very. I think we mentioned this 2 weeks ago on Friday. In the midbar, from which a leather did the Jewish people use to for shoes? The shoes was from the creature called the Tachash. There was a creature in the desert. It's called the Tachash. Tachash has a multicolored skin. It was exquisitely beautiful. And it was used to cover the Mishkan. The third layer of the Mishkan was the Or Tachash. The lower layer of the Mishkan was from wool. Different colors of wool and linen. The middle layer was from goat skins. And the third layer was the Or Tachash, the hide of an animal, the multicolored animal. The hide was a multicolored skin, and it was exquisitely beautiful, and it was used to cover the top of the Mishkan. And we want to discuss that's really one of the makaris for Noi Sukkah. The Sukkah corresponds to the Mishkan, and just like on top of the Mishkan, there was something very, very beautiful for the Schach. The Schach of the Mishkan was the three layers, was the wool and linen and the goat skin. And then it was decorated with the Or Tachash. So too in the Sukkah, we have the Schach. The Schach is really the ceiling. And we decorate the Schach by hanging from the Schach, Noi Sukkah. Why do you do that? Why don't we have Noi, the equivalent of Noi Sukkah by other mitzvos? It's because since the Sukkah corresponds to the building of the Mishkan, Sukkah is the 15th day of Nisan, was the day when the Mishkan was the day one when the Mishkan, they began construction, 15th day of Tishrei was the day when they began construction of the Mishkan. So there's obviously a relationship between the Mishkan and the Sukkah. If the Mishkan had a beautification on its ceiling, so too our Sukkah should have a beautification on its ceiling. Okay, that's one mouth. But what did they do with the leftover? The leftover hides that was from the Tachash. So it says in Chazal, based upon the pasuk, v'analcha tachash, they used the leftover hide of this creature to make for themselves shoes. So people walked around in these exquisitely beautiful, priceless shoes. This in the midbar. Yes. In the midbar. It's a fairish pasuk in Yechezkel. V'analcha tachash. Your shoes were from the leftover hides of the Or Tachash. And what is Tachash? What is Tachash? So it says in the Targum Unkelis, Sos Goy No. Sin, and Gimel Vav, Gavo with a cholam, Gavo, Gimel Vav Nun Hey, Gavona. And Chazal interpret this translation of the Targum to mean the creature takes delight, sos, bigavonim shaloi. Gavon means its colors. This creature takes delight in its beautiful, exquisite colors. In other words, it was a very happy creature. It was a creature that was mole sosain. There are two words. There's the word of simcha, and there's the word of sosain. Sosain represents a very high level of joy. And it was this great level of joy that was incorporated into people's footsteps. So what's the message? The message is, in life, it's not easy. No one came to this world for a free lunch. Everyone has a peckle. However, if a person is able, if the peckle does not get him down, and he's able to live in a state of joy, then it's fine. Everything goes. If a person does not have any joy in his life, every little thing is an impediment. Every little thing will stop him from proceeding, from accomplishing, from doing. If a person is a lev, what's the pasuk? The last pasuk in the listing of Shulchan Aruch, mishte tam, a person who has simcha, a person who is in a state of simcha has a heart. I don't remember the pasuk, but simcha obviously is something that is a very great tool to survive in life. In fact, if you have joy in life, everything is good. It is for this reason, when we put on shoes, we make the bracha, she'osa li kol tzarki. That is the bracha that is, that when a person makes the bracha, she'osa li kol tzarki, Chazal say, you're supposed to be mechavein on one's shoes. And indeed, many have the meaning, they do not make the bracha, she'osa li kol tzarki, on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, because in Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, we do not wear shoes. And they wait until Yom Kippur is over and Tisha B'Av is over to make the bracha, she'asa li kol tzarki. A question: why are shoes, from all the items that we wear, all of the birchas hashachar, something which we say is everything Hashem has done for me, all of my needs? It's not true. Wearing a shirt and pants and having shelter, having what to eat, l'cha'ora is much greater inyan of she'asa li kol tzarki than wearing shoes. Okay, you'll argue, you'll tell me, whatever, you can say all these different things, but I think the question is still better than the answer. However, when you understand this idea that when we make a bracha, she'asli kol tzarki, we're not just making it on our shoes. We're making it on the biblical shoes. What are the biblical shoes? Tachash, or tachash. V'na'alcha tachash. Tachash does not exist today. Because Hashem wanted to give all these companies parnasa. Have all these. The reason why there's no tachash was the creature only existed lefi shah. But the biblical shoe is the or tachash. Pasuk in Yechezkel. Va'analcha, your shoe was tachash. And what is tachash? Targum soskoina, a creature that has enormous joy when it looks at its multicolored skin. It brings, it's appealing to the eye. It brings simcha. We take that simcha of this creature, we wrap it around our feet to remind us every step you take in life, no matter how painful it is, when you deal with the issues of life, the painful issues of life, every step forward you take, do it with joy. And if you do it with joy, then you're in a frame of mind, I have everything. She'osa li kol tzarki. If someone will ask you, what could I do for you? What I want? I don't need anything. I have everything. You have everything. You're destitute. You have this tzara. You have that tzara. You have this. If you're besimcha and you're mekabel Hashem's, what Hashem has given you besimcha, it's a different life. Hashem has given me everything that I need. That's why we make the bracha she'osa li kol tzarki. We're not making the bracha on your kids, your sneakers, or some Oxford dress shoe. We're making this bracha on the biblical shoe. The biblical shoe of analcha tachash. Simcha. Groisa simcha. Now, when you understand that pshat, this pasuk becomes extremely, extremely frightening. Okay, this pasuk now takes on a whole new meaning. Let's go back to a more basic question. Why were the Egyptians punished for the golus of Mitzrayim? What did they do? Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Yodoya teida, ki ger yezaracha, the eretz lo elohem, va'avodum, the inui oisam arba meoshana. So Egypt, a tzaddikim. Hashem, we're your shluchim. The Jewish people have to go into exile. Better us than them. Right? Better us than them. You know, they always say when you come to a gadol, they say, art scroll. Art scroll. So they went to Yashiv. They went to other gedolim. Should we translate the Shas? You know, it's not traditional. And one of the very common answers is, if you're not going to do it, someone else will. And you can be certain, the people who will do it, they're not going to do a good job. They're not going to translate and elucidate the Talmud according to Mesorah, according to tradition, according to have a team of true Yorei Shemayim elucidate. You better do it, because if you don't do it, someone else is going to do it, and they're going to do it a lot worse. It's going to be very harmful in every dimension. You have someone's asked all different types of Damal Lahash. I read recently. I read Rabbi Eisenman here. Very good Rabbi Eisenman. So he was once approached to give a Jewish response. There was a big research project, and then it was a public research project about a response to certain contemporary issues, and they wanted to hear the response of the reform, and the response of the conservative, and the response of the egalitarian society, and the chulu, and they also want to hear an orthodox response to the issue. And they approached Rabbi Eisenman from Passaic to give the response. And here it's like, you know, it's bordering upon this ban not to have dialogue with, all the types of religions and this and that. And he writes here in the book that he went to Rabbanim, and the Rabbanim told him, Adarabba va'adarabba, do it. Because there's going to be in the community another Orthodox rabbi that will be very happy to take the limelight for himself and give a response. And one thing is for sure, those type of Rabbanim who are very happy to take the limelight for themselves and give the response, they don't have your Yiras Shamayim. You have a very high level of Yiras Shamayim, and the way you will respond will be as good as it gets, will be good. So therefore, Adrabba, you should respond, because if you're not going to do it, someone else will do it, and they'll do it even worse.
But then look, you had a situation where somebody who had with the bris to go and take care of the bris, so in a reformed place, and he said absolutely he would go, because at least this time
be a kosher bris.
Know they would do it right.
Be a kosher bris.
If he was exactly there, it would be done properly.
It's a very delicate balance.
Right.
When
yeah,
it's
but
said,
that's what he
yeah,
said.
Yeah,
that
the
time.
Delicate balance. So when you take this idea and you approach Egypt, you know, Egypt is a very strong argument. Hashem said, there has to be avodim, the inui oisam, arba meoshana. So Egypt says, better us than someone else. Because if someone else is going to do it, they'll do it a lot worse. We'll do a good job. We won't overdo it. Whatever, you can make an argument. And what would be the alternative? If Egypt would not have been the ones that avod the inu yosam, let's say they would have gone to Amon, Umayav, would have gone to Tsar, they would have gone to Aza, what would the result be? Would Klal Yisrael today have been better off had we have been under the subjugation of Amon, Moav, Tsar, Ul, and Edom in ancient times than going to Egypt? I don't know. You can argue back and forth. But Egypt can say, listen, before you destroy us, and you curse us, and you drown us in the Yam, you know, what would have been the alternative? Let's get the hard facts. This is the Ramban's Kasha. The Ramban's Kasha. We learned this inside. Everyone questions the Kasha. So why is Egypt to blame? It's not a light question. It's a very strong question.
Well, that's what the Gemara gets into in Kedusha, about the whole idea of lo yavo amoni lo avi b'kal Hashem.
Allah shall kidnu Esra.
Time is only three generations, because they wanted it.
When it's bad.
Right.
But then, so you see, you're
right.
Saying very good, you're showing that the
exactly.
Midois of Amon and Moav were even worse than the Midois of Mitzrayim. So Mitzrayim is a very legitimate argument that there has to be a Gezerah, Vavodim V'inui Oysam, why us? Why are you punishing us? We're doing your bidding. And the answer the Ramban and everyone else gives, there are many spin-offs of the same answer, is they did it with a simcha, with a lishma. That you didn't have a right to do. You had a right. Avoidas perach, but it's even more than avoidas perach. The inu is avoidas perach. You can argue the inu is avoidas perach, but you don't have to rejoice. You don't have to smile when you see the Jews suffer. Okay, there is okay. We're your taskmasters, but we're not going to go and rejoice. That's why they're punished. Now, with what we just said, the last 15, 20 minutes, it becomes extremely frightening when you read this pasuk. If you learn like the minority commentators that tell us that this pasuk refers to Mechiras Yosef, and what did they buy with the money they received for selling Yosef? Shoes. And what are shoes? Shoes are simcha. They didn't just sell Yosef because he was a threat. There's a very legitimate argument to be made that Yosef is a roidev. He's a threat for the history of Klal Yisrael. There was a Bezdin. They sat down as a Bezdin. They joined Hashem in the Bezdin. Okay, you can delve very deeply into what exactly was going through their minds. And you know who's to say? Torah lava shamayimi. Torah is not in heaven. If the Bezdin Shalmat reaches a conclusion, that is the halacha. That is what becomes.
According to this idea, were they thinking Hashem ha'asid?
Whatever they were thinking, whatever it is, they came, they were very intelligent people, they came to a conclusion that this individual is a threat to the existence of Klal Yisrael. There's what to be said. No, you can't blame them. So what's the chait? The chait was, what did you do when you got the money, when you sold Yosef? Got some money, a few bucks. What did you buy? We bought shoes. What kind of shoes did they buy? Well, they bought the Oxford brown shoes with wingtips and no shoelaces, slip-ons. Is that what they bought? No. They bought biblical shoes. What are biblical shoes? Or tachash. What is or tachash? Simcha. Sus. They had such pleasure in selling their brother as a slave. When you wear the shoes, what bracha do you make? She'asa li kol tzarki. If you have a little simcha in life, you can get through the worst scenarios. I read this incredible book. We have a whole show on this book about Holocaust. And part of the book he writes on the victims of the Holocaust, they had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
How did people survive? It doesn't make one bit of sense how even one person could survive the camps. Auschwitz, Buchenwald, and all. How could it even be that even one person alive to tell us what happened when you read about the horrors? And he writes there, he tells you these funny stories. The sense of humor people used in the worst situation that's beyond description. They had a little sense of humor. It kept them going. A little simple. I mean, it sounds crazy to say such a thing, but there's truth to it. There's truth to it. A little simcha in life takes you a long way. When you put on the shoes, she'asa li kol tzarki, a person who can have the most miserable conditions in life, you have a little simcha in life, everything is good. Where do you have simcha? In your shoes. The shoes are your strides. Your strides in the derech of life. And what do you wear? The tachash. The sauce, the gavonim shaloi. Now this pasuk is super duper frightening. When they sold Yosef, they bought shoes, the biblical shoes, the Artacha shoes, the Sosgoina shoes. We didn't just sell Yosef. It was a simcha. It was a joy. It was a delight to eliminate this individual. What are you talking about? He's your brother. Maybe ideologically, you're right. He's a threat. He's a threat to the existence of Klal Yisrael. But you don't have to have simcha when you sell him. You don't have joy. It's a necessary evil to sell him. The fact that you had simcha, that shows that you're corrupt. It's a chait. And where's the smoking gun that they had simcha? Where's the smoking gun? What? No, not necessarily. It could be a Sudas Havra. An Ovel also comes back. An Ovel, when he comes back from Avelis, he also eat bread. You have to have a Sudas Havra. This joy is shoes And now we have another understanding is why do Avelim take off their shoes? Avelos is the absence of Simcha. When a person is not, you can't go to a wedding, you can't go to a Sudas Reyos. You're not allowed to have Simcha. You can have Simcha Shel Mitzvah. You're allowed to go to a Bar Mitzvah. You're allowed to go to a Siyam. Bikudei Hashem Yishorim Samchei Leiv. But other Simcha is forbidden. That is why during the Avelos, you take off your shoes. When you know the secret that shoes do not mean modern day shoes. Shoes refers to the biblical shoes. The biblical shoes shoes called Tachash. The Analcha Tachash, the Pasuk in Yecheskel, and Tachash is the creature of Sos Goina. It has joy in its multicolored. It represents the shlemus of joy in this world. Then everything fits into place. You understand why you make the bracha she'asali called tzarki. You understand why the brothers were guilty for selling Yosef because they bought shoes. You understand why an ovel takes off his shoes. Okay, there are other reasons why you take. What about Yom Kippurim? The Kohen Gadol goes into the Kohen the Shachar Rashim, no shoes. So the similar reason why there are no shoes is because Ad Mas Kodesh shoes. No, it's when you go lefnei the Ribbono Shel Olam, the focus is Yira. The Gilu Bira Ada. You rejoice with trepidation. The trepidation is expressed in the absence of shoes. I am Panim L'Torah. Okay, shoes are a lot of things.
That's the
Malbim on Shal Nelecha. Shal Nelecha. Hashem says to Moshe, Shal Nelecha. You oimei lefnei hamelech. When you oimei lefnei hamelech, it says in Shulchan Aruch, your ikur kavana, the balance, is on the side of Yira, not on the side of Simcha. You're happy. I'm happy to stand before the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the Gilui, you rejoice, Bira'ada, in trepidation. How is the trepidation expressed? Take off those biblical shoes. The biblical shoes of Tachash. The Sos. Sos begavonim shalom. There's no Sosain before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yo'imi lefnei hamelech. There has to be Bira'ada. That's the Iker. There's Gilui also. There's a delicate balance. But a balance is never 50-50. When you have a balance, there's always 51-49. No such thing in a balance as 50-50 because Ein Shnei Melachim Mishamshim B'Keser Echad. One has to be the primary and one has to be subordinate to the Tofa. That's the way the world is. You can't have in this world 50-50. It just doesn't work. It's a stalemate. The Beis Din has to have an odd number of Dayanim. There has to be one side that has the majority and one side has the minority. It can be a very small balance. And that could be very healthy. It can be more healthy. But there are two words. The Gilui Bira Adah. The fact that the way the pasuk is composed in such an expression has a connotation is that the primary is the Ra'adah. You rejoice also. The Gilui. But therefore, the concept of shoes takes on a whole new meaning with this little, just one little secret. One little secret that the shoes are not the modern day shoes, the shoes are the biblical shoes. Okay, now we're going to go to Pasuk Zayin. We're now going to go further in the Chatohim of the Malchus of Yehuda. Pasuk Zayin, Asheref Alaf Haaretz. Those individuals who lie down or roll. Or here in the Mitzudos David, he says a different translation. Yeah, it's a little bit complex what this means. Hashav means to yearn. Habata means to gaze. There are three terms for looking. There's called Habata. We had once discussed that's one of them. It's called Habata. There's called Re'ia and Estaklos. Three different terms Chazal use. Here we have another term called Hashoyafim, who's telling us that this also means to gaze. Inyan Habata al Hadavar v'Hatechel Esla. And yearning. A person is being mabit. He's mabit. He looks upon something and he yearns. He has hope that he will achieve something. V'chein ke'eved yish'af tzel. A slave yearns for shade. A slave's working in the field in the hot, torching sun. He yearns, when will the time come when I can go into the shade and take some refuge? So here the pasuk says Hashem alaf aretz beroy shtalim. Let's go further in the pasuk beroy shtalim. The person is. We'll read the mitzvah one more. Let's read the words. We'll read the mitzvah. So I'm not going to translate it correctly. Bereish talib, the derech anav yatu, the way of the anav, the humble, is corrupted. The ish of yelchu el hanaro leman chalel l'shem kashka. Let's see if there's a lot of farshim over here. What this means, all that pshat. We'll see the slow in the mitzvah of it. Page 280 on the bottom. Hashayafim asher mabitim el afar haaretz liyos musam bereish hadalim. What does this mean? The shayftim appoint, they appoint officers, lachayf hadalim lekayim dvar hamishpat, to force the down the poor people to fulfill the law. The imimanu yikachum b'sa'ar roshan, they grab them by their ponytail, they grab them by their hair, v'apilum b'aretz, and they throw them down to the ground, the yirbasum, and they trample upon them. Now we have over here, the dust of the earth is on the heads of the poor people. So here, the shayaf means the leaders. So let's explain, there's a lot going on in this pasuk. The mitzvah stuff is telling us is that there's a whole story behind this pasuk. We have a poor person. And the poor person is working under the authority of a shofet to do slave labor, and then the slave does not satisfy the master. The master takes out his stick and beats him up, and the slave falls on the ground, or he grabs him by his hair and he throws him on the ground, and then he steps on him. So now the master is standing up, he's vertical. The slave is horizontal on the ground. The master is looking down. He's looking down on the filth of the earth mingled in the hair of the poor man. Okay, so this is the worst matzah possible. Let's read. I'll tell you a story to illustrate this. V'derech anavim yatu, matim derech anavim, lo haseim derech hapshutu, la hatois derech akalosay. The anavim are the humble people. The humble people go on the derech hayosha. They corrupt. It's not a virtue to be humble, to be honest, to be a baishan. Chazal tells us that there are three, kleishal baishanim, rachvanim, goyim lei chasadim. These are the midas of Klal Yisrael. These are virtues. To be a goy mel chesed, to be a rachamon, to be a rachmonim, to be baishonim, the midah of embarrassment. We live today in a society that it's not a match. It's not a mila. It's not a virtue to be humble. If you're humble, it means you're not going to succeed in the business world. If you're a baishon, that means gesundheit. You're not aggressive enough to succeed. It's a very sad state of affairs in this world that these attributes, these midos of Klal Yisrael, baishanim, goyim lechasadim, and rachmanim are not virtues. And he's saying, who is the one that taught the world that they should not be virtues? None other than the Jewish leaders. The corruption that's come from within. Okay, we're influenced by the goyim. The anavim they turn away, and they don't want to be seen. The ish the aviv, okay. The ish the aviv shenem yachal v'lo yivoshu zemize el hanara ritzin lemer el hanara hamayra. So this no seem, but both the father and the son take turns at the same time, living with a nara hamarasa. There is no shame. Normally, under normal circumstances, a person should have some shame that you would not do an aver in front of your father. Many stories of people, Rachmana Litzlan, they went up the derech, but they would never dare do an aver, be Machal Shabbos, in the presence of their parents. Because it would be a disgrace to Machal Shabbos in the presence of their parents. There's a certain midah of busha. And the Klal Yisrael, this moment in time, have reached such a low level where there's no busha, If it's only doing it for their own pleasure, then it doesn't make sense why they would do it at the same moment in the presence of one another. The fact that they do it in the presence of one another is an indication they're only doing this to anger Hashem. Okay, Amon was the worst of the worst. What did he do? He went and he took his own mother into the Kodesh HaKodashim and he had relations with her on top of a Sefer Torah. That's what it says in Chazal. Even Menashe did not do this in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Menashe put a tzelim in the Heichel. He would not dare take a tzelim and put a tzelim in the Kodesh HaKodashim. But Amon went even further. So doing such bizarre things, which is so evil, this was done lahachis to show to l'chal Shem Hashem. So let's review the pasuk. The pasuk was reading. Pasuk is a hard pasuk to translate according to the parish of Mitzudos. Hashafen means the nasty master looks down. The word Hashafen means to be mabit, to look down with derision, with scorn upon this weakling, this weak person who is lying on the ground, where the dust of the ground has mingled, has gotten into his hair. How did it get into his ear? Because the master is stepping on him. And when he steps on him, he brings up dust from the ground and he makes his ear filthy. Hashayafim, the master is looking then alafah haaretz upon the earth of the earth, the dust of the earth, which is mingled, berosh, in the hair, the head of the dalim, the poor people who are vulnerable, have no one coming to defend them. What else do they do? V'derech anavim yatu, the path of the humble, the virtues that of the humble, meek people is corrupted, is perverted. It's no longer called a virtue. The ish, to the degree, there's so much corruption. The ish yav yelchu el hanara. There's no shame. There's no busha. There's no busha l'man chalel a shame kach in order to profane my name. Now, if you look at this pasuk, there are three different complaints. The first complaint is they step on the poor. The second complaint is they corrupt. They corrupt the virtues that are good, and the third is there's no busha. This corresponds to the three midos that we just mentioned: klal yishola baishanim, rachmanim, v'goyim lechasodim. In Sodom, what was the problem in Sodom? They were not goyim lechasodim, and what did they what?
As somebody put it, they were anti-chesed.
So where do we find in this pasuk over here that they step on the poor represents there was no chesed? If you could have a master step on his slave and bring up dirt, that's how you treat a poor person. You have over here a dal, a poor person. This is Maaseh Sodom. In Sodom, it was illegal to give money to the poor person. The poor person you step on, you wait until he dies. If the Rashi says if there was a poor person, there was a poor person in the city, and he kept on, everyone thought soon the poor person will die. It's illegal to give the poor person money, so soon enough the poor person will die from starvation, and the poor person never died. He lived on year after year. So what did they do? They launched a secret investigation, and they discovered that there was a little girl giving him tzedakah secretly. So what did they do to her? They tortured her to death. They smeared her body with honey, and the bees came, and she died a miserable death. No citizen of Sodom should ever do this one ever again and support the poor. The poor people have to be eliminated. It's not good for society. You have to step on them. So that's exactly what it says over here. Hashayafim alafar eretz b'roish dalim. So that corresponds to there was an absence of gemilos chasodim. Next, v'derech anavim yatu. There was no rachmanis. Rachmanis is the midah of the humble. The humble, the anavim, this is their midah to show compassion upon people. This is no longer a virtue. And the last thing is, there's no busha. The ish, the aviv, yelchu el hanara. A father is not embarrassed to do an aver in front of his children. That's also a very interesting concept. Parents would never want to do an aver. Their children should know they're doing an aver. And children, not as the father would say, for me, I can't help myself. I have a taiva, yetzahara. But my children, they have to be better. There's something to that. There's something positive to that. And it's something very positive. A child is embarrassed to do an aver in front of his parents should know about it. There's something to that. And here there's no busha. So this pasuk here teaches us that Klal Yisrael, it's an incredible pasuk, there was an akira of the three midos of Klal Yisrael. Goyim lechasodim, rachmonim, and baishanim. Here it's spelled out explicitly in this pasuk, and Klal Yisrael was trained to do this for what purpose? L'man chalel eshem kodshi, in order to profane my name. And so I want to tell you about dirt was from Rav Grussman. Everyone's a very famous story, maybe no one's not here. Review the story. Rav Grussman, the way it's told over in the art scroll version of Rav Grussman, they wrote it, they published the book not that long ago. Long overdue. Decades overdue. They put out a small book. Unfortunately, not too many people are even alive anymore that can be interviewed to reveal the greatness of Grussman. Gustman. Rav Grussman was a genius. He was a Yorei Shemayim, that goes without saying. He was, but in addition to being the Yorei Shemayim and all the midos that come along with being a Talmud Chacham, he was also an Ilui, a gross mind that was beyond our understanding. But just about after the war, when they came to America, just about every single yeshiva on the face of the earth offered him the opportunity to be the Rosh HaYeshiva of that yeshiva. Tar Vadas offered it to him. Who else? I think Mir Yeshiva offered it to him. I think Panovich, Eretz Yisrael. Everyone wanted him to be the Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva. Even Lubavitch, Lubavitch he was. He accepted it from the Lubavitch Rebbe. He accepted the position. He was there, the Rosh HaYeshiva of Lubavitch, for a period of 2-3 years, I think. And you know what that means. In Lubavitch, the minig is that on, I think it's Erev Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur, there's a tish. And the minig in Chabad is, I don't think, obviously not today anymore, but the minig is that the Rosh HaYeshiva gives a bracha to the Rebbe. You would think in such a type of chassidus where the Rebbe is everything, that no one gives a bracha to the Rebbe. The Rebbe is the one who gives the bracha to the Olam. No, in Chabad the minig was that they come together, the Rosh HaYeshiva of all of the institutions of Torah in Chabad. And the Rebbe was not the Rosh HaYeshiva. I think he appointed Gurarie to be the Rosh HaYeshiva in charge of all of the institute. This is more of an administrative position, whatever it is. But he was, we have to go through the entire history, and that meant that he, every year, would give a bracha to the Rebbe, the Rosh HaYeshiva. It was a very chosh v'shtela. What he had. Then later on, he retired. He didn't like the whole thing, so he retired. He made the kollel, made a yeshiva. He went to Eretz Yisrael, made a yeshiva. But the story there was, he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he opened up a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and they have to have food. They have talmidim. They have a lunch, breakfast, dinner, and this food. And you need a hechsher. You need someone to make sure the food that they're serving in the yeshiva is kosher. Even in Eretz Yisrael, you have to make sure the food is kosher. And he had limited funds, and he took a certain service provider, a vendor, to provide the food. And the hechsher was not the best hechsher of Eretz Yisrael. There were hechsher in Eretz Yisrael that were of higher standards. And he, for whatever reason, did not take those hechsher. He took a lower standard for his hechsher. And what happened? There were a couple of Kindelach, he calls them. Some young people, probably in their 20s, maybe a little bit older, and they came to him, they said to him, Gusman, we see here, though the hechsher in the yeshiva is not up to a standard. You know, why don't you take our hechsher? We have a better hechsher. And you know, we want to let you know, like the mafia, if you don't take the better hechsher, it's not going to be good for you. We'll write in the newspapers or on the Pashkevilim, we'll write some things about you that are not so nice. It'll be a bizoyin feel, bizoyinous. And it's not a one, what is that? Don't accuse us of blackmail, because if you listen to us, we're such chosh for people, you know, we're only 20 years old, you know, we're running the world, we'll give you kavod. will give you grace of covet. Covet melachim. Like in there. So he says to these people, this is what it says in the book, Kindalach, you're threatening me with b'zionos, and you're trying to reward me with covet. Let me tell you what covet and b'zionos is in my book. When I was in Vilna. He was the youngest dayan in Vilna ever. He was probably 22 years old, even younger. 19 years old. He was a dayan on the bezer of Chaim Ozer Grudinsky. You know what that means to be a dayan on the bezer of the Achiezer of Chaim Ozer? He was 19 years old. There's no kovod in the world you can give me in this world like the kovod that I had when I was 19 years old, and he was recognized as being a Talmud Chacham from a previous generation, his Kishroinos, Yir Shemayim. There's no kovod you can give me, you 20-year-olds, to write something complimentary about me in Mishpacha magazine, in the FJJ. It's a joke.
Maybe
it's a joke. It's a joke. What are you threatening? What are you telling me? And b'zionos. Now, here's one time to this pasuk. B'zionos. You're threatening. You're going to write something nasty about me. You'll put up the Pashkevilim. Does anyone even read those Pashkevilim over there? And you Yerushalayim. I don't even know if anyone reads them. Just for fun, they just smear with glue and put up these papers with Ashra Yosher Yisach. Keeps the walls up, right? So, you're going to threaten me? Let me tell you what b'zionos is. Mm-hmm. I had one son. One, he had a daughter also. Baruch Hashem, she lived. And I had one son. And what was his name? Mayor. One son. He was probably 1 or 2 years old. And the Nazis, they collected us in the ghetto, whatever the story was. And I was holding my son, and a Nazi, Yamach Shemoy Rizichlo, took a club and started clobbering me and my son. And they clobbered my son to death while I was holding him. And this son was the apple of his eye. They clobbered him to death. And after they clobbered him, they took me and my son and they threw me into a cess tank. Okay, tsoya. Human waste. They threw us into a cess tank. I was half dead, starving, literally starving to death, and my son also, and I was barely alive, my son was dead. And then after they walked away, I took my son out of the cess tank, I washed him off, I buried him. I took off his shoes, okay, his shoes, and I sold his shoes for a piece of bread to feed my starving wife and my starving daughter. Do you know how I felt at that moment in time? Do you know how low I felt? You know the bezionos I felt? And you're threatening me with bezionos? You foolish, foolish kindalach. What are you, the covenant and bezionos? Look what it says here. Hashayafin, this mamish, this curse was fulfilled. This was a history. But this mamish, there is no bigger fulfillment of this curse than this pasuk here. Hashayafim, the Rishoyim, Harim Yimach Shom V'Zichrom, they look down, al afar eretz, the dust of the earth, which here it's even worse, the tsoya, the human waste, b'roish dalem, that's smeared, it's intermingled on the head of the poor. This is what it says over here. This was the now the scary part about this pasuk is he's not talking about Nazis. He's talking about Jews. Jews doing this to other Jews.
Have met those three Jews?
Jews doing this to other Jews.
Should have stabbed them in the heart.
Later on, they were threatening him. But this is like to get a taste of how oppressive, what this pasuk means. Jews were doing this to other Jews. So Hashem says, well, I'm not going to let this go by. I'm going to stand back and do nothing. I'm not going to let this go by. Al shloisha pishei Yisrael. Look, avodah zarah, gilyaraya, shlichas damim. No, maybe you have a good reason. You can legitimize anything today. Okay? Legitimize anything today. I was talking to someone actually yesterday. I was telling me he's very upset about certain things. So I said, you're 100% right. It's common sense. It's what this fellow did is terrible. You don't need any religion to get involved. It's just common sense. You don't do something like that. So he says, it's not so common. It's not so common. Sense is not common anymore. It's not common. Wait, what are you saying? So here, unfortunately, this is what Jews were doing to Jews. You can maybe legitimize. But this, there's no legitimization for such a thing like this. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this is the Arba. It's all nikhla in the Arba, and that's why it has to come to an end. But again, we explain this idea. There are the three different midos of Klal Yisrael in this pasuk. The Hashav Al-Faretz is Gnilat Chasodim. V'derech Adavim Yatu is the midah of Rachmanis. And the Ish of Le'elchu Elanara is the midah of Busha. Klal Yisrael unfortunately reached such a low state. Lan Chal Hashem Kodesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I have no choice but to do something. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, let's see how Rashi says, al afar eretz shem holchim olecha. So the word v'kol sho'afam, v'kol machshavasam, so the word, he's translating the word not like the mitzudois, who translated the word sho'afam means to look down. I stand high and I look down. Habata. It's very, you know, it's not what the Mitzvah says, I don't believe is the common translation. Okay? Because then you don't really hear this truth, but that's what he says. That's how he ties the pasuk. And he brings rice, and he has source. In the Mitzvah seal, he brings other places where we'll see a little bit more soon. But look, the Radak is the same thing, Kamat. So we have to go through it more carefully. But Rashi does not say this. Rashi says the word she'ifa, that's the way it's more commonly translated today. It means your yearning, your hope, your tikva.
Your aspirations.
Aspirations. So what is the aspirations? To find a vulnerable person. You're looking, you're always trying to take advantage of someone that's vulnerable to sell them the Brooklyn Bridge. That is corruption. That's not a way to live. To be involved in a parnasa where your whole goal is someone should walk into your office. Oh, I got someone now. I can take advantage of. I can write up a bill. I can use them as a tool to rip off the government to go and who knows what and sell him services and products that he doesn't need. He doesn't need. But he's so foolish. He's so naive. He's so ignorant. It's to my advantage. This is corruption. And Hashem says, Ad kan. People who are yearning, ragen kol she'afam v'kol machshavaisam, all of their aspirations and their plans, b'roish dalei koyachu. It's directed against the head, against individuals who are feeble, who are weak, who are naive, who cannot protect themselves. Eich yigzlu oisam. How can I steal from them? V'yitlu es shelohem, and take away what belongs for them. She'ifa, Ramachal, what is this word?
It says, golosei, which he translates as aspiring.
Aspiring. Okay, so this is this is Rashi's, but again, not the Mitzudas. We'll get more appreciation when we see the Bardak in the Malbim. V'derech anav miyatu, ha-chaloshim noitim midarkam, the weak people, they turn away from their normal way, the way of humility, the way of upright, of being a yoshar, and you can't survive, right? Isn't that really what the excuse is today? I have to chew on the taxes because I can't make a parnasa. The whole society is so corrupt. The only way things get done is with bribes, is with corruption. Unfortunately, that has become a reality in certain parts of society. They're afraid of these rich and powerful people. They're afraid. If we're going to be honest, we're going to go b'derech hayashar, they're gonna just mow us down. We can't. We have to be corrupt like them in order to keep up the game. Stay in the game. K'modat Omar, Yatu Evyoinim Miderch, the Evyoinim, they turn away from the proper path. El Hanara, he's saying the word Nara, this is what Rashi, this is what the Mitzvah says. Hanara is a code word for the Nara Hame'oirasa. See, if the Nara would just mean a young girl, that would be one thing. Okay, so therefore a person, but at least she's not married. She's not married, so the Avera is not a deal of an Eshes Ish. Today you would say just the opposite. Today you would say it's abuse. Right, but time of Chazal, it was not viewed like that. If a girl is not married, so she's not married. But if she is designated to another man, She's designated to, so she's an Eishes Ish, and now by being Nichshol with, doing an Aver with her, there is not just what you've done to her, you've stolen another man's wife. You have to think of the collateral damage. When a person does an Aver to a single girl, it's a horror. A person abuses a married woman, he's not just destroying her life, he's destroying the life of her husband. He's destroying the life of her children. So a Naira Hamurasa is a horrible thing because... The family. The collateral damage. The collateral damage. So you need to know, it's almost like a pattern here in this pasuk. The pasuk over here talks about Geza. It really fits very well in the previous pasuk. The pasuk when it says, Al Michram Ba'Kesef Tzadik Ba'Evya Ba'Vor Na'aloyim was corruption. The Pshutai Shal Mikra, as we spent 2 days on, is not referring to Mechiras Yosef. It's referring to bribing judges. A judge, you have a case in court, and the judge has to render a decision, and you slip him a couple of bucks, you slip him a new pair of shoes, and that will allow you to take it to him to issue a decision in your favor. Gezel, you are stealing your friend's money. And now in this passage, the way Rashi learns, we're really giving 3 examples of gezel. We're not just giving examples of averus. Rashi learns your yearning is to take advantage of a sucker. That's the best word for this. A sucker is born every day. Every minute. Someone used to work. He worked in an electronics store many years ago, and he says he could not believe he worked in the accounting department, and he could not believe what the salesmen, what they would do. People would come in to buy air conditioners. And he told me these stories on how they convinced them to buy air conditioners they really didn't need. And made up these stories that the air conditioner today is on sale, which it wasn't. It was never on sale. All of these crazy, crazy techniques they used. And he always said to me, a sucker is born every minute. This is Mamash, what it says. So what do you will use? Gezel. This is an illustration of Lenechtema Gezar Dinam El Alachamas. And then v'derech hanavim yatu, that the people becomes pervasive. Society, everyone does the same thing now because this is the way the rich people behave. So the poor people, they follow suit. That's the only way you could survive. And then when it talks about the naira, Rashi's emphasizing she's a naira hamurasa. It's not just her. You've not just stolen her life, her innocence. You've destroyed her husband. You've stolen a woman away from her husband. The collateral damage. All examples of gezel. Let's take a look at the Radak. Radak hasheafim alaf ha'eretz b'reshtalim. V'hasheiftim heim hasheafim umabitim. So again, he says over here, he says the used word mabit. Mab means to gaze down upon. U'mechavdim sheyeh afar eretz b'reshtalim. Shemesimim shaitrim tachtehem. If the poor man does not give away all of his money to the rich, sounds like communism, right? If they don't give away all their money to the rich, what's going to happen? We're going to send a KGB after you. And what are they going to do? They're going to take a club and hit you. You'll be on the floor. Yikachum b'sa'ar roisham worse. They'll grab you by your hair. V'yapilum bo'aretz. They'll throw down this person to the ground. V'yirmisum. They'll step upon them. Anyone that does not follow the orders of the Shofet, they will designate a war against these individuals. If you don't do what we tell you to do, we'll send out the troops, we'll send out the people, the officers against you, we'll wage war against you to knock you out. He's quoting this pasuk, which I guess like the Mitzudos David, that it seems to mean here to look down. The Mitzudos and the Radak are of the same opinion. We're dealing over here with the word is to look down, and the Roish Dalim, the Afar Eretz, the Roish Dalim refers to the humiliation, the physical assault upon people that do not do what they are told to do. Not like Rashi. Rashi, as we said before, refers to al afar eret shehem holchem oleha, is that people that are looking to take advantage against the against the human beings that walk upon the earth of the land. Al-Afar Eretz, it's a hard translation according to Rashi. Al-Afar, look at Rashi one more time. Al-Afar Eretz, upon the earth of the land, Sheheim Holchem Olecha, which man walks upon. What does that mean? As Rashi explains, it's not to be translated literally. They're walking around the earth. They're walking around society, the earth, the Afar. It's looking for vulnerable people.
Yeah,
people who are naive.
Walking the earth can be a metaphor for a person in power.
That's what he's saying over here.
Yeah,
he's saying
because,
the Sheafim. There are people.
These are the people who are looking for victims, right?
Yeah.
They're in power. They walk around like they own the place.
This brother.
So you want to say is that means that the evil people, the leaders, they walk the earth. They walk the earth with an attitude, let's find a vulnerable person that we can take advantage of. Okay, it's different. Now it's very interesting. According to Rashi, the earth is called Afar Min Ho Adama. These two words do not go well together. Whenever you have the word Afar, Afar goes well with the word Adama. Eretz is a different word. What is the difference between Adama and Eretz? What's the difference? What's the difference between Adam and Ish? So there are different opinions on what this means. And one of the opinions is Eretz represents. Let's take a step back. There's Ish and there's Adam. Which one is a more powerful word? So many will tell you that the word ish represents weakness. Ish is enosh. Mo enosh ki siskarena. Enosh lashon of nosh, which means to falter. No, doesn't. Adam comes from the expression of adame lo elyon, to be similar. Pasik Nevuchadnezzar, this is like Maral type of stuff, right? Adam Elo Elyon. Okay, this is a discussion. Okay, we're not going
to
go
the other way.
Okay, you go the other way. That's true. Okay, but basically, there are two different terms for a human being. There is an Adam and there is an Ish. Adam, there is no plural. There is no plural for the word Adam. Does not exist. The word Ish is a Yachid, and there is Anoshim. There are many people. Ish. Adam is unique. There's only one. Okay, whatever it is. Earth has the same idea. There are two words. There is Adama and there is the Eretz. Eretz means desire. Eretz has an expression of Rotzoin. Rotzoin. Eretz and Rotzoin come from the same Shoresh. Reish Tzadi. Will. Rotzoin, the desire to do something. So the earth, mitzad echad, it's called Adama, which just means doimim. Adama also has the sherish of to be silent. Doim, vayidoim Aaron. Aaron was silent, quiet. Eretz, rotzoin. I'm not quiet. I have aspirations. I want to do something. I want to accomplish. Adam was Afar Min Ho'adama, not Afar Min Ho'aretz. Bereshis Boro Elokim Eis Hashamayim V'Eis Ho'aretz. Why doesn't it say in the Pasuk Bereshis Boro Elokim Eis Hashamayim V'Eis Ho'adama? And then when it comes time to create man, Hashem says, Nase Adam B'Tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. And it says Hashem took Afar Min Ho'adama. What is Adama? So the answer is, again, a lot of answers. You can say whatever you want to say is this, it's not part of creation. This Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis HaShemayim V'Eis HaAretz. Man did not come from that Aretz. Man came from somewhere else. Where? Before Bereishis? Before, Bereishis means in the beginning. In the beginning means there was something before the beginning. Or maybe it means Adam was created after Bereishis. It's a different Berea. Adama is not Oretz. Two different words. Ofar min ho Adama. Adama is doim, garnished. Eretz, there is passion, there is desire. Adam is ofar min ho Adama, and yet Adam is commanded to be a man of Poseach es Yodecha, umaspia l'chol chai rotzain. Man came from the most boring, boring thing that can possibly be in this world. Adama, doim. So what gives man the desire to succeed? Hashem. It's purely, purely spiritual. Poseach es Yodecha, umaspia l'chol chai, every living creature with rotzain. The Eretz in the Adama is the spirituality injected into the physicality, into the mundane, into the doim. Okay, it's the synthesis of the Ribbonish of spirituality with something which is completely physical, which has absolutely no life to it whatsoever. Ofar min ho Adama, vayipach bab nishmas chamehid al nefesh chaya, luruch mamala, okay, and then go to the Midrash, and pasech zedach maspil l'chol chaya rotzayn. Here we have a very unique expression. These hashayafim, they walk around al afar eretz. Wait a minute. They should walk around al afar ho adama, right? The dust of the adama. Why does it say over the afar? Vayibach Hashem afar min ho adama. These two words don't go together. Afar comes from the adama, not from the eretz. The eretz is where the neshama comes from, and here. This is a goof of the point, they're corrupt. The corruption is, they are, this was the chait, al arbo lo yashivenu. Instead of being shoyef on the offer of the Adama, which would mean to elevate the offer of the Adama by injecting it with spirituality, they're looking down to take away the spirituality. They're shoyef, which means they look down with derision, al afar eretz, on the accomplishments of man. Man has gone from ofar min ho adama to ofar min ho eretz. Man has achieved, this was man's success. Now they're trying to undo that. They're trying to take away the eretz in the ofar and restore it to ofar min ho adama. Like today. Today in the society, the goal of liberals are trying to remove any spirituality in man. Man is no different than an animal. In fact, animals are better. Animals don't harm anyone. Animals don't make nuclear bombs. So who gets more covered? There's only one seat on the bus. You give it to a dog or you give it to an old lady? You give it to the dog. Because the dog didn't harm anyone. Okay? You want to take out, you want to go backwards in time. This... Yeah.
Do you have a bracha?
Oh. Adama. So you got to think about it. I don't know. Hamoitzi lechem min ha'aretz. Boirei pri. So you have to listen. Boirei pri ha'adam. The pri of the Adama.
Adam comes from Adama.
So I think there's something very similar you can say right away is that a fruit, what is it, why do we have fruits in this world? We don't need fruits. All the nutrients that we need to survive can be found in boring food, bread, and some other things. We don't really, if you never ate a fruit your whole life, I don't have a doc nutritionist, is there really,
fruits and vegetables.
What?
Fruits and vegetables.
You can survive 100%?
No, but yeah.
Without any fruit, if you have a fruitless diet, fruitless diet, no fruit whatsoever, only vegetables.
Fruits and vegetables.
The fruits, she said, let's say you'd have no fruits. What do the doctors, what do nutritionists say about a diet where you have
vegans who are
they're deficient. Vegans, but what do they eat, vegans? What do they eat?
No meat.
But let's discuss, well, do they eat fruit? Okay. But what happens if you have is there such a diet in this world where you eat vegetables and bread? And meat, but no fruit. Does it exist such a...
will give you the iron, green vegetables.
So what about the fruit? Does the fruit provide mankind any benefit that he could not get otherwise?
It gives you carbohydrates. Gives you
the fruit, but you can get that from the bread. From bread. You can get the sugars, the carbohydrates from bread, no?
You can.
What?
You can.
you can. So there is machshava in the Sram. I don't know the details, and that is, fruit is a very strange creation of Hashem. It represents luxury. It represents the reason why everyone here in this room drives a different car. There's probably two people in this room, yeah? Zavas cholov udvash. Dvash tamarim. Is a luxury. Okay. There's no two people in this room that drive the same car. Cannot be. No two people here are wearing the same color shirt. Okay? No one. Everyone wears, why? That all comes from the fruit. When Hashem created the pre-Hoadama, it represents luxury. It's not a boring world. If Hashem would have only created bread and meat and vegetables, everyone here will be wearing the same color shirt. Everyone will be driving the same car. Everything will look the same. The tiles on the floor will not have any... The koyach of having variety in this world is an outgrowth of the bria of fruit. This is what it's. I'm not telling you, this is what it says in the Psalm. Fruit represents luxury. It represents. What time is it now? Wow, it's so late. We have to stop. We have to stop. Sorry, I'm really sorry. I didn't realize. Fruit represents luxury. It does not represent. Represent necessity. That's what fruit is. So when you say borei, Hashem creates the pre ho'adama. Why is it Adama? Adam is boring. It's there's no flavor in Adam. Adam is doim. Doim. A fruit is a product, is a chiddush. That from a doim, from boring white, comes color, comes variety. That's a bria. When it comes to bread, it doesn't say boirei hamoitzi. It's natural. It comes forth lechem, bread, min ha'aretz. Aretz represents not the boring, represents passion. From passion, it's natural. If you're starting off with the source of rotzain, aretz comes from the same shorish of rotzain. This creativity, this your starting point is already. Creativity is already variety. It's already complex. Memela, they have a spin-off. A spin-off of a creative art is another creative art. It's Hamaitzi. But to go from the Adama to a fruit, it's a Bria. This is against the grain of what Adama is. Adama will never, ever produce anything by itself. Because the definition of Adama is Doim. Boring, boring, boring. It's like Yidim Aaron. Nothing to say. Nothing. Quiet. A fruit? It's a Bria. Boire pre Hoadama. When you're starting off with the Oretz, you're dealing with a creative process. The Lamites Malacha is involved baking bread. Because the baking of bread is a creativity. The 39 categories of labor are all creative acts of labor. 13 of the Lamites Malachos is baking bread, taking the raw product that comes out of the ground, and doing 13 different things to accomplish steps to produce a piece of bread. That's creative. Why? Because the source is creativity. It's Oretz, Rotzain, desire, will, passion. Oh, passion. Keep on going. Don't stop here. Keep on going. Hamaitzi. The train is moving. Just keep on going. Now you'll be maitzi lechem min ha'aretz. Lechem. So you touched on something very interesting. All right. I just want to leave with that point over here. That shayim al-aretz means it's part of the corruption. So drush. It's part of the corruption of this generation is where instead of it being afar min ha'adama, they want to go and they want to go down. They want to go afar eretz. They're taking what was once great and they want to reduce it to a word that is associated with Adama. They want to rip out the spirituality in this world and take what is essentially Torah, Kula Ruchni. No, it's a storybook, history book. It's a mashalim to rip it out. That's part of the chasaron of doing Navir. Kava.